You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is back tomorrow. Free Ticket Fridays. Ooh. You will have five chances to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets listening during mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Our show, Matt Nair on Air, from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Daunt, 4 to 6. Each of us will have a keyword for you tomorrow that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. And you are in the running again for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats, good seats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fancy cushiony seats.
Fancy cushiony seats. So that is coming up tomorrow. Free Ticket Fridays is back. Coming up today, it's Thursday. We have lots of stuff coming up. Jim Santel, our colleague and friend here at Civic Media, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network. Jim will be here after the 9:30 news. Lots of things going on that we can talk to Jim about, including the legality. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, of ICE officers taking people into custody when they have no identifiers on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand how that's legal.
Or masking their faces or just making it seem absolutely impossible to identify who is, in fact, arresting you.
Who is legitimate law enforcement. Yeah. So that and among many other things we will kick around with Jim Santel. In hour number two, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here around 10:20 for a little weather and wine. We have some really hot weather coming this weekend.
Yes, we do.
Already some heat warnings out there, so just keep that in mind. And Brittany will let us know how long that, I believe it's a heat dome.
Okay.
That's what I've read.
Wow.
Yes, how long that heat dome is going to be around and how long we're going to be in these steamy weather conditions. Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan here at 10:35 to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Happy Trail Mix edition. Some people.
Yeah.
Some people. That's coming up around 10:51. I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, the Wisconsin state budget remains in limbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some Republicans saying, yeah, we're just, you know, I don't want to sign anything. We'll just go with the deal that we had.
It's not bad enough. Let's make it worse.
Let's make it worse. Todd Alba actually kind of broke this day before yesterday on his program and even the night before on social media that the Republicans want to cut more money from the UW system. This from WPR, Sean Johnson with the byline. Robin Voss says Assembly Republicans back $87 million cut to the UW budget. Governor Evers had asked for an $855 million increase, which we knew wasn't going to happen. That's almost $1 billion. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a little bit before, like negotiations, you start high and then you come down a little bit lower to what you were actually shooting for.
Exactly.
But yeah, now they're like, no, we're not going to give any money. And in fact, we want to cut $87 million from the UW budget.
I mean, I'm surprised it's only $87 million. And I'm sure, Jane, it's for measured, really well thought out reasons too.
Robin
well
Voss,
said.
Yeah, Robin Voss says, "quote It's not about cutting money. What it is about is getting some kind of reforms to the broken process we currently have." Popcorn King says there is still too much political correctness on campus, and not enough respect for political diversity. "quote We want to ensure that whatever happens on campus, it is a free exchange of ideas. Really? That's the basic basis for what university should be," unquote. He also said something about, we need to make sure that conservative students are comfortable on campus.
I thought they hated safe spaces.
I thought they hated higher education.
I thought they hated coddling and snowflaking and all that stuff and
Didn't Scott Walker's two kids go to UW-Madison?
Didn't a bunch of people who are conservative go to UW-Madison and Harvard and Yale and every other university they hate? It's also, tell me why cutting $87 million will help them achieve this goal. If they wanted to create a place that was more... Also, by the way, I thought they hated inclusivity.
Well, you can't be inclusive.
And diversity. And
No, that's
bad. We can't make a special space
bad.
For them.
It's all bad.
How does that goal of what Robin Vosch just said get achieved by cutting? Why not finance certain things and say, all right, we're going to give you $250 million for the UW system. But in that money, there must be an allocation for a freedom of thought think tank or whatever. You put something in that actually achieves the goal you're trying to say. When you make the claim of conservative students aren't comfortable there and it's too much political correctness. Well, then, and cutting money is not going to help that.
No, of course it's not.
It's going to make those people, by the way, hate you more.
Well, this is my personal opinion. I believe the Republican goal is to kill higher education.
Absolutely.
They want to kill higher education. They want to kill public education. Mm-hmm. There is nothing worse than having to deal with people who can think critically. That's bad.
Yeah.
Then they can argue with you.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
They only want certain, and it's funny, they don't even care about like working class conservative kids who want to go to college. They want their buddies and their buddies' kids to go to college. They want like those halls are reserved for a certain individual.
They're not going to be standing on an assembly line mm-hmm. screwing in screws to phones we're going to make here.
Oh yes, American iPods. Just wait, we're going to pay $25,000 for those. The more I listen to Robin Voss talk, whether it's in interviews in the paper, whether it's on Upfront, which he goes on a lot, he's able to speak with such fluidity, but rarely does anything of value come out of his face. It's always just a barrage of talking points that appeals to a certain swath of individuals, and there's never anything to back it up. Cutting 87 million, just say it out loud. We don't like UW system. We don't like what they're doing.
We don't like higher education.
We don't like higher education, and we think it's a waste. Just be honest, but don't make it like, conservative kids don't have a place to go to. Go to Bob Jones University.
What do we need to hand out blankies for these kids?
It's real snowflake behavior.
I'm not sure what it would take to make them feel more comfy on campus, more welcome on campus. Scott Walker's kids, maybe they could be consultants on this.
Maybe every night we'll get a space inside one of the dorms or the like union halls or something like that, and we'll just turn the lights low. Everyone gets a blankie. Okay. Everyone gets like, just a juice box, and then we play someone recites a Ronald Reagan speech, but even a softer, quieter
nice.
ASMR Ronald Reagan. Oh, it's morning in America.
That's nice.
And then they feel good about themselves, Jane.
Is that too much to ask?
I feel like, yeah.
Good. They can throw $1 million at that.
Absolutely. Get a Ronald Reagan impersonator.
Senator Kildare-Roy is a Democrat from Madison, says with a $4 billion surplus, yes, we are still sitting on $4 billion. Mm-hmm. With a $4 billion surplus, says Senator Roy, there is no excuse for making cuts to the university.
No.
We used to have, we were, our university system was the envy of the country.
Yes.
Wisconsin's educational system was, we were the model.
Wisconsin used to be one of the envies of the country as far as our unions, our education. Apprenticeships started here. We got that thing kicked off. I believe kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Like there's so much that happened in Wisconsin.
Educationally?
Gay rights, queer communities flourished here because of the protections that the government passed to make sure they were welcome and taken care of and treated equally. This state over the past, I don't know, let's see, when did Scott Walker, it just seems like it happened when Scott Walker, it's coincidence, right? It just has fallen apart, but with great design. This is not a, oh, we've let it go. This is a measured attempt to destroy everything that's been built in this state.
It's an intentional dismantling.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
If this budget cut happens, this $87 million they want to cut from the UW system, UW system saw cuts in the hundreds of millions of dollars in the first Scott Walker administration.
Yeah.
So this, you're right. This began when Walker got into office.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Intention and with honestly, if you think about it, Scott Walker got into office in 2010. 15 years, the amount of damage they've done to this state, it's kind of amazing to watch.
I also find it amazing that considering how evil our UW system is,
yeah,
that any Republicans would send their children to these universities. How did they have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to all the indoctrination that they were subjected to?
Yeah, it's
my goodness.
It's a game they've been playing for the long. Just fear education, unless you want your kid to go to I just keep on going back to the idea of they hate school so much. So they want to make it unaffordable for the regular folk, but their kids and their friends' kids will go there because that's good. Because at the end of the day, it's a good school. It provides opportunity and fraternity, and people see a UW Madison diploma on your resume. They're like, "Oh, I went there. Hey, we'll give you a shot." You know what I mean?
Yeah, things still going well in Madison. Friction between Democrats and Republicans on display yesterday. The Senate passed several bills along party lines that create programs and grants with no state funding attached. So they passed, we like this program, mm-hmm, and we're going to do funding for this program. We just aren't going to say how we're going to pay for it. What? Republicans argue the bills need to be signed before funding is included in the budget to assure them that Governor Evers won't make any changes using his partial veto. They're still really stung by that, the changes that he made with the education and the 400-year mm-hmm education. Yeah, they're really upset about
it. I have a feeling, Jane, and I am not a fortune teller. I can't say what would happen in an alternate dimension. I have a feeling that even had he not done that, they'd still just be sore losers. And I mean, honestly, this is their MO is just to punish us. They just want to punish us, the regular folks, working class, blue collar.
We don't donate enough money to really be important.
Man, I would love to. I'd donate enough money to be like, hey, can you guys just like us for 20 minutes? Can you do something that helps us?
The regular folks?
Yeah. Help. Help your friends. Fine. We know you're going to do that. I know the Democrats are going to do that. They love helping their rich friends. They have to help their rich friends. But also, every once in a while, give us something, too.
But that's what the Trump budget is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's throwing crumbs. Although, in this case, with the budget bill in Washington, that will very negatively impact on the lower end of the economic spectrum.
Oh, my gosh.
Massively.
Poor and working poor are going to see their taxes increase a lot.
Yeah, almost $2,000 I've seen.
Irresponsible and disgusting.
Speaking of irresponsible and disgusting, the 988 hotline is going away. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Okay. Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action coming up a little bit later on. Our broadcast starts at 12:45. The crew at the Cubs, they got rained out yesterday.
Boo.
You can catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH. They have Lumberjacks next month. In Hayward, the crew at the Cubs today, our broadcast starts at 12:45. Coming up in a little bit after the 9:30 news, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, will be joining us, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, this was announced yesterday. The Trump administration is going to defund the program within the 988 suicide hotline aimed at LGBTQ kids. So if you called 988, that number will remain available. Mm-hmm. But LGBTQ callers were able to request that they talk to someone specifically trained in this area with shared experiences that they're going to X.
Someone please tell me how this isn't policy that's just aimed at pure cruelty.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she will fight tooth and nail to protect LGBTQ kids after the administration proposed Wednesday the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline will no longer support programs aimed at LGBTQ youth. A survey done by the Trevor Project last year found that 40% of LGBTQ young people considered suicide in the previous year. 12% of LGBTQ young people attempted suicide. Both are higher than those among non-LGBTQ mm-hmm. youth.
Yeah.
It's because of a lack of support.
Yeah. These kids are, if they're not just kicked out of their houses, their family, their community, the church, they're put into terrible positions of pressure and mental instability just mental strife that makes them think that they're not good enough. And kids without help can spiral out. Adults can as well, but kids need a place to go. And this is just a simple program aimed at helping people. This was instituted, I believe, in 2022.
Yep. It hasn't been around for that long.
No, it hasn't. It was 2023. And according to the article that we're getting out of the Wisconsin Examiner written by Henry Redman, 1.3 million contacts have come from LGBTQ people to the hotline. That's trying to help a lot of people.
Yep.
And when we're talking about kids and when we talk about how much we love kids and want to protect kids and support kids. And
only certain kinds of kids,
yep,
apparently.
Yep. Maybe they'll put in a hotline in there, the 988, that will, you know, conversion therapy line. I don't know. But this is just, this is.
Well,
I can't even find a word. Like, cruel isn't even, it's, that's nice. This is monstrous.
And unnecessary.
Yeah, this doesn't.
I just think it's unnecessary. You cannot tell me that this one addition to this hotline costs so much money mm-hmm. that's why our government is having money problems. You got to be kidding me.
No. I'm sure someone will say it, but then over time we'll hear the truth, which is we really shouldn't be encouraging these kids to live the
and
lives
that's
they're
what
living
it is.
In.
And we that's should, what it is.
We need to protect them. We need to get there are other, they can call their church. No, they can't.
No, they can't.
They cannot call their church. Not some of them. Sorry. Queer kids are important to me. Trans queer kids are very, very important to me. And this is just mean.
It is.
This is awful. This is anti-American, disgusting. And we're going to be reaching out to both Senator Tammy Baldwin to talk about this. And I would like to talk to Abigail Swetz from Fair Wisconsin as well.
Yep.
Because this has repercussions. This will hurt children.
Tammy Baldwin, quote, I worked hard to stand up a special line for LGBTQ+ youth because we're losing too many of our kids to suicide. It's well past time we did something about it. Children facing dark times and contemplating taking their life often have nowhere else to turn besides this 988 lifeline. Mm-hmm. And the Trump administration is cruelly and needlessly taking that away. And I would think that we can all agree that if we reach for help, it's always better if the person on the other end of the line has experienced the same thing, right?
I'd love to say
I'm not saying that other people on this helpline can't be helpful, mm-hmm. but I think talking to someone, being counseled by someone who lives in the same lane yeah. makes a difference.
It makes a difference. It's important. I think it's necessary, and I think that Jane, we can't all agree apparently because they're cutting this. So there's a great group of people out there. When I say great, I mean of amount, not of personal, of good people who think that these kids do not.
They're not worth
their problems are not worth the time or the money, which once again, it's like when we get into an argument about funding NPR, it is point zero. I want to know.
It's minuscule.
I want to know how much this portion of 988 is, and I want to know all the zeros that are involved as far as 0.0000% of the budget. It's
teeny.
It's so, and during Pride Month too, and they did it intentionally.
Absolutely.
They always do this.
We have news coming up next when we return. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11, will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Thursday at this time. He is our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review across the network Saturdays from 9 to 11. Jim Santel is here, a working attorney, a former U.S. attorney. This is why we get to be lawyer adjacent, because we have Jim Santel here. Jim, before we went
and to it's a good adjacency, Jane, by the way.
It is not a bad adjacency.
It is a very good one.
We are always grateful for your insight and your perspective and your experience. And before we went to the news at the bottom of the hour, Jim, we were talking about the decision by the Trump administration to stop funding the LGBTQ plus portion of the 988 suicide hotline. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to Maggie Dawn's show yesterday, I highly encourage you to go back. She did talk about this for quite a bit.
She also spoke with Abigail Swetz
from Fair, Wisconsin. Yeah. So you can always find archives of our shows, all of our shows, at civicmedia.us. And then just click on shows and go down to the show that you want. But I highly encourage you to listen to Maggie's show from yesterday. But what a disappointment, Jim. And it's dangerous.
A profound disappointment, not only as a public policy matter and the shutdown of this important access. It has been there again for not a great deal of time, not enough time.
Just a couple years.
But exactly. But we, again, it's implicit in your comments, Greg's comments as well. We know from the records in all of these kinds of outreach, the hotline access, that they also save lives. And they may not solve problems in the moment of the conversations, but they stop people from doing things that they might otherwise be inclined to do and give them a bridge to give them a sense of forward movement in their lives. And so this is catastrophic, not only, again, in terms of what we should be doing as a community, but for people who would otherwise get access. Again, as you said, the line is still there, but that importance of having that connection of human beings who've gone through the same thing cannot be overstated. As I was listening to your compelling and hair in the back of my neck rising conversation about this, Maggie's yesterday as well, reminded of what Sonia Sotomayor wrote and released just the same day, actually, yesterday or so. Opposing the position of the Supreme Court that, in fact, Tennessee and other states can stop health care being provided to youth, underage, minor, transgender populations. There's a portion of the opinion. There are actually many of them that I commend to your listeners. But Sonia Sotomayor takes the opportunity to talk about the impact of this upon particular individuals. I won't read all of it. It's on page 6 and 7 and 8 of her opinion, but she talks about how this ban applies no matter what the minor's parents and doctors think, with no regard to the severity of the minor's health conditions or the extent to which the treatment is medically necessary. Talks in particular about, obviously, people identified in the pleadings, Ryan Rowe, named by name, he's 16, LW, the initials, John Doe, people who are affected dramatically by the support and the lack of support.
You're talking about treatments for trans youth.
Right. She's talking about their life experiences. And again, the connections, I could not avoid the connections between her accounts of individual people. They're real. This is not just a decision by some bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. and by the president to stop this. These are live human beings. And it underscores the notion that, again, all of this affects people. She talks beyond that toward the end of her opinion about the fact that transgender people have long been subject to discrimination in healthcare, employment, housing, rampant harassment, and physical violence. Paragraphs and paragraphs accounting all of that. If you need any additional support, and your listeners probably do not, but any affirmation of the horror of this decision to rescind the hotline access through two transgender counselors, take a look at what Sonia Sotomayor wrote and released just yesterday to America. It is compelling.
Well, and again, I can only imagine that the amount of money spent on this is minuscule.
Yes.
When
yes.
we are talking about the vast majority of government spending, this is a blip. This, right? This is, it's practically insignificant, the amount of money that we're talking about.
Absolutely. And so, as you and Greg had just said in the previous segment, you go back, as does Sonia Sotomayor and the other dissenters yesterday, and say, what are we doing here? What is the reason for doing this? And again, as both of you have indicated, words fail. Words like cruelty and intentional attacks, candidly, upon people because we don't like who they are. We don't like what they represent. Whatever the perverse mindset is, that's what animates this. It's not about economics. It's not about operational capacity. None of those things. It's simply because we're going after those people,
right,
demonizing people without any basis whatsoever. That's not what America is all about. You know, it's we the people, right? That's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone, citizens, residents alike, youth alike. It is adults. It is everyone of all immutable characteristics. And how dare they do these kinds of things that send us back, not just 200 years, but 300 and 400 years in time.
So I did some looking really quick because I wanted to find out, and there's no specific number for the exact thing for the LGBTQ line, just for that. So basically they spend about $33 million overall in programs, mainly focusing on this line for LGBTQ youth. This is in the 2020 budget. The 2020 budget was $7.71 trillion total.
For the budget.
For the budget of that. $33 million was given to this program. And if they want to post it as, well, that's money we can save, that is like, if I'm doing math correctly, it's 0.000046% of the budget.
It's minuscule.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
This is cruelty. This is gross.
Well, yeah. And it's not about saving money. It's not about... It is about trying to disappear segments of our population. We've seen that to what the White House has done with some of the White House websites and just disappearing people from the code talkers from World War II and other people of color and women who have had accomplishments. All that stuff's gone. All that stuff's gone.
Removing names, identities, great histories about bravery in our military, about people who have done extraordinary things, and they happen also to be members of the LGBT community, and we cannot have that, apparently, in this administration. That sends the wrong message. It does not send the wrong message. It sends the message of inclusiveness and that everyone is participating, should be able to participate in the American experience. And they have, to our benefit,
Yeah.
That's the horror.
The other thing I do not understand, all of the people who scream about parents' rights, parents' rights, parents' rights, parents decide what their children are taught, parents decide what their children eat, parents decide, except in this instance, we are taking the control of the medical treatment that parents decide that their children need. We are taking that right away from them and giving it to who? The courts?
Giving it, again, the courts giving it to no one in this case in the wake of the decision, right, that basically says that if you've got a state legislature, and oh, by the way, by my count, there is somewhere between 20 and 30 states, about half of them in the union, that have passed pieces of legislation that in some way restrict healthcare provided by doctors, provided by healthcare workers to transgender youth as they're going through this very sensitive process. About half of our states, and by what they did yesterday, the Supreme Court says that's okay. You can strip that away. You can prohibit it, not just make it a difficult to access, but you can prohibit it as a legislative matter. So if I'm in Tennessee and I am a parent, I'm a family member, I'm a transgender youth, no access. If I get it somehow, I'm engaging in a violation of the law. And the Supreme Court yesterday said that half the states of the union, that's okay. The other concern, of course, that some of the dissenters identified, as do many people in the wake of yesterday's decision, what else does this bring forward? That is, if there are other states that are teetering on whether or not you can do this,
yep,
they may go down that road. And beyond that, Jane, as your comments just indicated, we are once again highlighting and demonizing a group of people. It's those transgender people, right? And we know as well that we've got, as we just mentioned already, the Supreme Court has said that Donald Trump could go ahead and get rid of them from our military. No proof whatsoever that there is any impact, just the opposite, a
right,
positive impact by having transgender members of our military. Yes, indeed, we've got the war on sports and the war on bathrooms still come up on a regular basis. All of this kind of thing is just a part of a larger plan to look at people and say, we don't like you, and you and other people should not like you either. And now we're permitting legislatures to embrace that notion and make it the law. What is next? And that's the concern right now in the 24 hours after the announcement of this decision. What is coming up next? What is the other branch of this that goes forward? What are you going to do next, John Roberts and five other members of the Supreme Court?
If you're just joining us, we're having a discussion with James Santel, who is the host of Amicus, a Law Review, which is available and on the air every Saturday from 9 to 11, also available on civicmedia.us/shows for past listening experiences. I think the next step is, Jim, and I want to make something really clear, transgender individuals, people who identify as transgender, and this is 13 and older, is 0.6% of the population.
It's this tiny, tiny, tiny portion of the population. Yeah. Tiny.
And I think that you go after them, and once that is
done,
controlled and done, and the next thing I think is the full spectrum of the queer community, because we see people already talking about rolling back marriage equality. It's chipping away little by little, and somewhere in the 2010s, in the teens, 2010s, when marriage equality became a thing, people kind of put it down like, oh, we can't really go after that. We gotta demonize another group. Well, they found their group, and it's perfect because there are so many people who don't understand transgender people, even though they're individuals who are just living a life. But I think once that is taken care of in their eyes, the next is the full spectrum of those in the queer community. And then after that, who knows? It's just anyone who doesn't look like us. And when I say doesn't look like us, I'm talking about white, and I'm talking about landowners, I'm talking about business people. That's what there's going to come a point where there are going to be white people who don't look like them as well. They're not going to be good enough. We say it all the time. They're going to go there. There's no reason for, once the other ones are gone, you're next. So that's where I think it's going to go. I think it's a full movement through Project 2025 to Christianize this country, and the queer population just does not fit in that group. Even though there's a lot of wonderful, devout Christians who are queer, gay, lesbian, all the Muslim, Jewish, it's not good enough, Jane. Not good enough, Jim. They got to go.
Right, right. And we're going to then reverse, again, recent history. We forget that, we do not forget that Obergefell, Windsor, those are recent decisions by Supreme Court, and also Bostock, this other case written by Gorsuch, saying, yes, you're right, you can be protected under Title VII in employment settings. All of that, again, now on the plate for a review and examination.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today on the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 across the network. At 2:35, they will talk about all the political news around Wisconsin with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. In the second hour, what's worse, Garden Pest Edition.
I think they're all the worst.
They'll kick that around. Join Todd. It's a great segment. The whole show is wonderful. Todd, all but 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are joined right now by another colleague, Jim Santel, who hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network. One thing I wanted to talk about briefly, Jim, because we did talk about this yesterday, and Greg found this article now in California. Two California lawmakers are proposing a new state law that would ban members of law enforcement from concealing their faces. I don't understand. Are we teaching our kids now that if a white van pulls up and five guys jump out wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a flannel shirt with masks on, and they say, "I'm with ICE, come with me," we're telling our 9-year-olds to jump in the van? Is that what we're doing?
That's the profound on-the-ground problem with what's going on in America today, right? We no longer know who the law enforcement folks are and who the potential kidnappers are.
Right.
And that's a serious issue, right?
Yes.
For youth, certainly for adults, we recall the tough student who was basically approached by those fellows and they look like ninja warriors coming upon her and arrested her.
Grabbed her off the street.
Absolutely. And so it's unfortunate that we have to have legislation, because what has been the practice in the federal system, that's what I can speak to, the tradition, the assumption has been that when you are executing a warrant, even executing a search warrant, which can also be rife with danger for all kinds of people, law enforcement, but also the people on the other side of the door, what you want to do is you want to be as transparent as possible. I am with the sheriff's department. I am with the Milwaukee County, this law enforcement entity, that law enforcement entity, so that everybody knows. And what's the reason for doing this? It's to ensure that nobody does anything stupid and irresponsible, right? If you know, if I know with clarity that that person coming through the door is indeed law enforcement and not someone who is there to do a home invasion, my response will be very different. And I've de-escalated the possibility of some danger. Federal system, again, there's an assumption that you will not be masked. There are certain circumstances, yes, for undercover operations, sometimes for SWAT things, sometimes for the safety of the operation generally. Those are, for the most part, the exception and not the rule.
Right.
And the concept, once again, as we've talked even about recent arrests, you want to do this in a way that, again, accomplishes the result without anybody getting hurt, with clarity. And what the legislators are doing are saying, and when people show up, and they're, even if they are legitimate federal law enforcement, how do we know that? You've got a right to ask. Do you have a warrant? What is the basis for your arrest? It may be probable cause in the moment. When you are pulled over for speeding, what is the first thing that happens? The officer comes forward and says, "I am Officer Santel. I work for this entity.
Right.
I've seen you've been exceeding the speed limit." We tell people a part of our due process. And it is unfortunate, once again, that we need to articulate that need. Again, under some circumstances, it's there. But in most instances, it's just another example of good due process in America. That's who we are. We do not have squads of law enforcement going out. And well, we do now, regrettably. We're picking people up at a minimum, putting again that very important issue of whether that's good policy. They've got to be able, they should identify themselves to establish their authority to do things so that that's done properly.
Now, I am seeing Republican lawmakers come out and say, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee recently just came out and said, there has been a 413% increase in the number of assaults against ICE agents. Of course, like with so many things with this administration, no one has come forward with proof. No one has come forward with the number of cases where this has happened. I don't think they should be assaulted. I don't think any law enforcement should be assaulted. But apparently they're okay with it only on January 6th. Those assaults were fine. Those people were patriots. But in all other cases, that doesn't apply.
Right. And you're absolutely right. We don't want anybody in any of these high, intense situations to be threatened, to be compromised in their physical security and safety. When these things do go badly, again, the botched search warrants, the kinds of things we've seen, what happens? People die, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen that in our recent history as well. You want to minimize that. the reality is, and I realize it's not true of everyone in America, when someone comes forward and says, I am here to execute a search warrant, I'm here to arrest you, here is who I am, here's my badge, this is the authority that I have, most people recognize that by, I'm only going to make things worse, Marsha Blackburn, by attacking that person and kicking and screaming or doing something worse, most people recognize, I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to contest all this, but I'm not going to, in this moment, do something that's going to make my situation even worse and the entire situation even more compromised.
It will be interesting to see what happens with this measure right now. It's only in California. Mm-hmm. But I do think that this is a larger discussion mm-hmm. that we need to be having right. as a country and whether we're good with this.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we should not be, again, with some limited exceptions. It's called transparency in government, including law enforcement. That's what I spent 30 years doing. You do it in a way that's fair and decent and ensures that the aspirations of our Constitution are met in the practical illustrations of it every single day.
Join Jim Santel Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network for Amicus, a law review. Jim Santel, thank you so very much. Really appreciate it.
Jane, Greg, always a pleasure. Have a good week.
We'll see you next week. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up globally on the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.